management of the SABC board. Of course, Mr. Mxakwe will introduce members at the right time, officials accompanying you at the right time. I see the DG and all other officials, members of the media. Maybe I need to start off by reading out the apologies. We have an agenda with two items, and I hope it's acceptable to everybody. But before I check with the members whether the agenda is accepted as it is, I have one apology. Honorable P. Van Dam is off sick. She has sent an apology. I have no other apology. Or the whip, Honorable Galago, is in a brief meeting, but he will be joining us later. I don't know whether there are any other apologies. If none, we go straight to the agenda. We have only two items today. Can I get any of the members to approve the agenda or make additions?
I move for the adoption of the agenda.
Okay, thank you. Bongo, Honorable Bongo, any seconder? Honorable.
Yes, Chair, I second that the agenda be adopted.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. With regard to the first item, honorable members, the first item on the agenda is a discussion on the matter of the chairperson of the Council of the Independent Communications Authority of South Africa. We have had discussion a few times as the committee, and I'll ask the secretary just to read out the historical report and the recommendations from the committee, because we have discussed it in the past. Temkosi, please quickly, if you can do that.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning, and good morning, honorable members and guests. This is the report of the Portfolio Committee on Communications on the removal of the chairperson of the Independent Communications Authority of South Africa, ICASA, dated 12 March 2019. The Portfolio Committee on Communications, having further considered its recommendation on the removal of the chairperson of the Independent Communications Authority of South Africa, reports as follows. On 7 February 2018, the committee received a letter from the Minister of Communications informing the National Assembly that the chairperson of the ICASA Council, Mr. Manyaba Ruben Mohlaluga, was convicted on charges of fraud and money laundering on 15 January 2018. The minister further requested the National Assembly to commence with the process of removing Mr. Mohlaluga from office. On 27 February 2018, the committee resolved to commence with the removal process in terms of Section 8 of the ICASA Act, Act No. 13 of 2000. And Section 81F of the Act provides for the removal of a councillor who has been disqualified in terms of Section 61J of the ICASA Act. And in terms of this section, the offence of fraud is a ground for disqualification. On 28 February 2018, the committee invited Mr. Mohlaluga to make written representations as to why he should not be removed as a councillor and council chairperson of ICAS. Mr. Mohlaluga submitted the required written representation via his attorney. On 27 March 2018, the committee considered the representation that were received from Mr. Mohlaluga. The committee agreed that the purpose of providing an opportunity to make representations was not to debate the merits of the conviction. The committee accepted that there was a guilty verdict that triggered the removal process. The committee is not a court of law which has expertise to determine guilt or innocence, so representations were invited to consider why, despite a conviction, the councillor should not be removed. In this regard, the committee considered the nature of the fraud, the amount of money involved, the persons or entities who suffered the loss, and whether collectively these issues created a lack of trust in Mr. Mutlaluch. The committee agrees that the fraud conviction is extremely serious and involved a substantial amount of public money that was appropriated for the benefit of emerging black farmers. It further noted that the actions occurred at a time when Mr. Mutlaluch was serving in Parliament as the chairperson of the Portfolio Committee on Agriculture, and this raised a serious concern in respect of conflict of interest. On 24 April, the National Assembly resolved to refer the matter back to the committee for further consideration and report. That was on the NA minutes of 24 April 2018. The committee met on 29 May and was of the view, based on the above, that there was a reasonable apprehension that Mr. Mutlaluch cannot continue in a position of trust and authority. The committee accordingly recommended that the Minister of Communication suspend Mr. Mutlaluch as a councillor and council chairperson of ICASA in terms of Section 83C of the ICASA Act until such time as the National Assembly finalized the removal process. On 12 March 2019, today, the committee deliberated on the matter of the ICASA council chairperson following his sentencing by the Pretoria Specialized Commercial Crimes Court. The committee noted that Mr. Mutlaluch was granted leave to appeal his sentence but not his conviction. The committee further notes that Mr. Mutlaluch's attorneys have informed Parliament that he intends petitioning the Judge President of the North Gauteng High Court to grant him leave to appeal the conviction. However, having considered the matter, the committee resolved that Mr. Mutlaluch be removed as a councillor and council chairperson of ICASA in terms of Section 61J of the ICASA Act with immediate effect. Thank you, Chairperson.
There we are, honorable members. Historical facts and developments within the committee and the recommendation. I don't know whether there'll be any take, or you approve the report as it is, as the honorable said.
Chair, I move that the report be adopted as it is, as presented.
Honorable Bong?
Yeah, no, thank you, Chair. I think the report is precise in the sense that, you know, by law and by what the Act says, once you have a conviction, you get disqualified in terms of the Act. So what the report says is that the conviction is not appealed, but the sentence. So I second that we take the report as presented. Chair, thank you.
Okay, thank you. Honorable Fande.
I also agree with the previous speaker, Honorable, but I just want to find out if there's a timeline. Is there a time frame in which the removal will be? If you can just give us clarity on that.
Immediate effect.
Well, is it with immediate effect?
We'll just have to take a second look, but clearly our understanding is that by the end of today, it will be with the National Assembly. Today. It will be tabled. Yeah.
Thank you, Chairperson. Honourable members, as this committee adopts the report, we'll send it to the NA table. It will be in the ATC of today, then it will be up to the programming committee when this matter goes before the National Assembly. I hope that is clear, Chair. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, basically those are standard processes. Once it's with the programming committee, I don't think they can delay it any further. this matter has been on the table for quite some time. It's just that we had to make sure that we consult with all relevant structures here in Parliament. So there will be no delay. It will be off our hands as of this afternoon. Okay. Thank you very much. For the second item, it's mainly really around the SABC. When you present, don't be offended when you see the minister taking her back. Don't think maybe she doesn't like what you're saying. She has a brief meeting, but she will be coming back. Hopefully we can start as soon as possible so that she gets a feel of what we want to do. The second item, honorable members, as you know, it has a few components into it. It's a briefing by the SABC on the progress made on the turnaround strategy. Also, the status of the last discussion we had on labor relations issues. I suppose it talks to the retrenchments then, which were on the table then. And in the implementation of the recommendations of the ad hoc committee on SABC board inquiry. So that was the request of the committee. And the last one in particular is very, very important because it goes to the legacy report of the committee. So I'll give over to the CEO, Mr. Mxakwe, who will introduce others. And I hope you don't have many people presenting. I don't know. How many people are presenting? Five people. You see the problem, if you have got too many presenters, then you don't give sufficient time as members to interrogate or engage with what you are presenting. I don't know how are we going to manage it. But you can have many people responding to whatever you have presented, if you are comfortable. Except if there's a section where you really feel somebody else must present. But what I think what is important is to give members an opportunity to engage and interrogate what you are presenting. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Good morning, Honorable Members. My name is Matota Mxakwe. I am with our CFO, Yolande van Billion, Chris Maruleng, our COO, Advocate Vanara, who is our Head of Legal, as well as Ndata Tegiso, who is the Group Executive for Human Resources. So, if I may, I'll get straight into it. As we all know that in the past couple of months, the SAPC has experienced a lot of challenges. But thank you, thanks to the resilience and the tenacity of the SAPC employees, we have been able to duly fulfill our mandate. Every single week, we reach over 29 million South Africans through our radio platforms. We still continue to reach over 28 million viewers through our television platforms. And for me, this is really proof to the fact that we have a team of people that's committed to fulfilling our mandate. What I will do is I will sketch out the current situation and we'll also get into the financials. After that, we will focus on labor relations issues as well as the progress that is made in the implementation of the ad hoc committee recommendations. So we've really, since we last came here, we've been able to implement very robust turnaround strategies. And in the process, we've been able to ensure that the SAPC still operates in the competitive space. Much effort has been placed on revenue generation, and in this respect, focus has been both on traditional as well as alternative revenue streams. To this effect, year to date, we're standing at 4.8 billion over a projected budget of 5.5 billion. And despite all of the issues around the economic downturn, and other related challenges that the SAPC has seen. We see that quarter on quarter there's been quite significant improvement in terms of revenue growth. The other point that I think it's worth mentioning is we're also seeing early signs of positive growth in as far as TV license collection is concerned. Year to date, we're standing at 917 million against a projected target of 1 billion. Proof indeed that we are making quite a lot of inroads in this manner. What we've also done is we've actually implemented across the organization cost-cutting measures that have helped us to realize savings of over 785 million year to date. However, as you may appreciate, the biggest challenge that we're facing is that our cost base across the organization is still high, despite all of these improvements in revenue, as well as the cost containment measures. We still need to do much more in terms of financial sustainability. The other issue that I think is important to note is that as an organization, we've made a lot of progress in terms of stabilizing the SAPC. We've been able to strengthen our governance and internal controls, and very importantly, we're instilling a culture of fiscal discipline within the organization. We're also managing a lot of disciplinary cases, and these really emanate from all of the forensic reports that we continue to get. At any given day, I get close to about 2 to 3 of these, and they depict the kind of malfeasance that we still see in the organization. And some of these date quite a number of years back. And a lot of the disciplinary cases were left incomplete. Some of them were abandoned, and we're duty-bound to make sure that we act on some of these. But I think what we're really dealing with is the past legacy of the total risk disregard of policies and procedures, as well as the lapse in internal controls as well as governance. So this is the discipline that we are now bringing into the organization. And as you will see when we present the recommendations of the ad hoc committee, we're very serious in terms of ensuring that we implement this, as well as the public protector's remedial actions, plus all of the sexual harassment cases, the irregular appointments cases that we're still dealing with in the organization. We're working very closely with the Department of Communications in order to transition the SAPC into the fourth industrial revolution. To this effect, we've developed a very comprehensive digital strategy because we're very aware that our audience accesses, consumes, as well as distributes information differently, and we need to ensure that our platforms, both in terms of radio and TV, are aligned to this transition. We've also been working with the DOC in terms of government funding because the severe liquidity challenges that we're facing, they do threaten our status as a going concern as an organization. Hence, there's been that engagement. And there are three areas really there. It's the first point is to ensure that we pay all of the overdues, which the projections at the end of this year, they're going to be standing at 2.2 billion. The second point is more investment in content. And the third one is to make sure that we upgrade and maintain all of the broadcast critical equipment to help us in fulfilling our mandate. Honourable members, I think I also need to be honest that our cash flow is depleted and we cannot honour payments to service providers. We cannot adhere to all our committed contracts and we cannot even commission local content production as a result of all of the severe liquidity challenges that we're facing. I think the situation is so bad that several major content providers of key programs, they actually refuse to engage with us, understandably because we have not been able to pay them in the past couple of months. This is actually one of the reasons why we've been engaging now, working very closely with the DG, acting DG for communications, on the funding, which will help us in recapitalizing the SAPC. One of the key issues is the maintenance of our infrastructure and buildings. It cannot be performed
and placing the corporation in a very risky position in as far as safety and health is concerned. We can't acquire sports rights, and you have seen in the past there's increased public pressure in terms of us doing this. But owing to our liquidity challenges, we are not able to do this. The Companies and Intellectual Properties Commission also issued a notice to us to show cause regarding reckless trading and trading under insolvent circumstances, which is quite serious in terms of liquidity. At the end of February 2019, our total trade and other payables, they were at 1.4 billion. And in terms of the credit payment days, they are at 114 days. In terms of the significant suppliers that are due and overdue, you're looking at Centec, we're looking at Supersport, Samro, as well as other providers of contents that we have not been able to pay. So, Chairperson, the SABC's projected figures show factual insolvency by the end of March if nothing is done. Thus, the work that is being engaged on with the DOC from a funding point of view. I think very importantly for me is the fact that we have now been working very closely with DOC to do the following. We've taken all of the inputs, we're engaging in inputs from Treasury and DOC in order to strengthen the plan and the strategy that we have in place. And we'll be submitting this to the Ministry of Communications by the end of September. Very importantly, we're also reviewing our funding model in a multimedia and multi-channel environment. We're looking at various revenue enhancement initiatives, and these also link to sales business directly with government. We've engaged with DOC on the acceleration of the implementation of the digital migration process, as well as the new institutional model that is going to look at the future reorganization of the SABC. Very importantly is the costing and the funding of the SABC's public service mandate. As the projections that we did, we're looking at 6.7 billion in the next 3 years, and we're taking these into consideration in terms of the funding model. We also need to ensure that there would be policy and regulatory amendments in this regard, and DOC is engaging with us in terms of ensuring that we align on these. And the last bit, the Honourable Chairperson.
Sorry, Chair, it's difficult to follow when there's no page numbers and it's also not displayed on the board or the screen. Is it possible that we can just get an indication where we are, because it's, as I say?
Okay. Oh, I am on slide 9.
And we thought maybe it's still on the introductory, but
apologies, Chairperson, because we had sent this prior. I was just
Chair, that's maybe something that we should raise. We only received this report this morning, and it's not acceptable that we must sit and respond to a report that was only given to us an hour or two before the event.
Chair, I think that is our problem. It's not their problem. They have sent the documents. I think it's for us to deal with it. I don't think it's for this meeting.
Thank you. Please proceed. If you can just indicate clearly to honourable members as to where exactly are you, what page, so that...
So I'm actually now on slide 8 as reflected.
But your PowerPoint is not good. They can't see. So members will have to stick to the document in front of them, because what is on the screen is not a very good PowerPoint presentation. So you'll have to rely on this document if you can't see clearly over there. On what page? Okay. Okay. What page is it now?
We are on slide number 9.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you. Please go ahead.
Okay. Thank you very much. So that's basically now where we are as an organization. If I may sum up before Yolandi takes us through the financials, we feel, in fact, if you look at the figures, we've been able to drive quite aggressively on revenue generation. We've also been able to implement all of the cost-cutting measures that have given us close to $1 billion in terms of savings. And we've also seen, from a TV license point of view, quite a significant growth in as far as collection is concerned. But as I say, the major issue still becomes the severe liquidity crisis that we find ourselves in, hence their engagement with DOC in terms of recapitalizing the SABC. I would now want Yolandi to just get into the financial overview and the summary.
Good morning, Chairperson, honourable members and other members in the audience. Thank you. I will share with you a brief overview of our financial status for the year to date ended January, and I'm on slide 12. At this point in time, at the January, we reported a loss of 338 million, which is about 54 million less than what was budgeted. It does, however, consist of a significant under revenue generation, as well as significant expenditure saving. In revenue, our revenue was 745 million rand less than what was targeted, but our expenditure similarly was 785 million rand less than what was targeted. Two main items contribute to the expenditure specifically: the program film and sports rights investment, mostly as a result of our liquidity issues, contributed 309 million rand of that saving. As I've indicated in presentations before to this committee, this is a bad saving because it doesn't allow us to invest in our future, and therefore we jeopardize audience share and ultimately revenue. In revenue itself, the main contributors to the underperformance in the year to date against the target is the advertising revenue and a little bit in TV licenses. But year on year, the organization is showing improvement, and I'll touch on that in a second. If I then move on to the next slide, slide number 13, we use some graphical presentations to display our status. This one specifically with respect to revenue on TV advertising income. If you look at the graph at the top of the page, you will see how in the last 4 months the EBIT, earnings before interest and tax, have been below zero, which is obviously not very good. Our audience share is also declining as a result of a combination of factors, and we see that we anticipate it to continue. Of our television stations, SABC 1 remains the top performing station, but we're also too heavily reliant on it. It is outperforming the prior year revenue, but it is the targets in year that is not being met for all three of the stations. However, there are a number of actions that are being targeted to address the situation. As I move on to radio revenue, here we're really only 5% behind budget, so the stations are performing mostly as was expected. Our Fortune 4 stations, SAFM, RSG and those, are performing well, but a little bit behind budget and target prior year. And Metro, Good Hope FM, and 5FM and our African language stations are performing better than the prior year as well, though they are struggling a little bit against the current year. And then at the bottom of that page is really just the year-to-date performance on television license cash collection, so 14% behind on what we expected. Again, remedial actions have been identified, are already in progress, and we anticipate to see the results of those investments in the next few months. I move on to slide 15, where we then touch on expenditure year to date. We are under performing an expenditure, as I indicated earlier, specifically with respect to operating expenditure as well as program film and sports rights. Unfortunately, our payroll does exceed what we budgeted for. You can see it still makes up 45% of our total expenditure, whereas program film and sports rights is only 26%, and our cost to income, our cost exceeds our income by 6%, hence the negative liquidity. Savings in operating expenditure follows from the austerity measures implemented before, various other cost containment measures, also discipline, financial discipline that has slowly but surely been returning to the organization. But similarly, we need to, as a result of the liquidity situation, delay maintenance in our infrastructure, investment in marketing, as also and traveling and those kind of things. The investment in marketing again comes at a cost in your future when you're unable to generate the revenue you need. And with respect to maintenance, we have incidents almost once a month where either there's a fire or a roof caves in as a result of the severe storms we've been having in Joburg, and all of it are symptoms of our inability to maintain our infrastructure in recent years. I'm moving on to the next slide, which is a brief overview of the forecast as at end of January. We're anticipating a net loss of 568 million, which is about 281 million more than what we budgeted for in the corporate plan. Main contributions are, again, it's a number of things, whether it is the revenue that is behind by about 821 million in this at this point in time, or the expenditure that is much less than what we anticipated. Expenditure, you by now have heard the themes, it's underinvestment in program film and sports rights, broadcasting cost, OPEX, and direct collection cost versus the employee cost, which is exceeding the budget. Then moving on to this slide 17, just an overview of the main financial indicators in our world. Debtors collection is pretty good. Creditor payment days, however, at 114 days are really not ideal at all, especially in the context of the target of 60 days, and it is as a result of our liquidity situation, as you know. Maybe just to reflect, as at the 5th of March, the organization had 201 million rand in the bank account. We anticipated inflow of approximately 400 million to the end of March versus outflows, a combination of the payroll and commitments, as well as our signal and broadcasting costs, which amounted to 500 million rand. So clearly already not enough to cover the expenditure. We owe about 943 million rand as at the end of February to trade and other payables, excluding accruals. So what we are unable to settle really just gets added to the backlog and aggravates the situation as we're nearing the year end. We really rely very heavily on our stakeholders, content providers, and other service providers to continue to support us at this point in time. And they have certainly been doing so in recent months. We are anticipating factual insolvency, as previously indicated. We do anticipate a very difficult audit. Our going concern has not been resolved. The AG, as well as the management of the organization, will find it very difficult to approve our financial results in the absence of any kind of support, noting that there's been tremendous efforts in this respect in the last 2 months. And we continue to work with DOC as well as Treasury literally on a weekly basis to unpack our issues, share the latest challenge, and try to find solutions that takes account of the various parties' circumstances. On page 18, just a small analysis of our trade and other payables. And then as I near the end of my contribution, a small snapshot of the current progress against the Auditor General's findings of the 2018 financial year. Completed findings are 46%, and with two specific projects that are currently ongoing in our asset environment, as well as engagements with Treasury around qualifications with content that we discussed here before, we anticipate to be at approximately 85% in 2 weeks' time. So we are very happy with the status that we are anticipating it to be. At this point, I'll hand over to the COO.
Thank you, CFO.
Honourable Chairperson, Honourable Members, thank you very much. My contribution will really be focused on some of our turnaround strategies and to highlight progress in achieving them. If you turn to page 20 of our presentation, I must begin, first of all, by indicating, as was shown by the CEO and the CFO, that the liquidity and financial pressures on the SABC have made it difficult for us to really fully implement as we have expected on the turnaround strategies. This has had a negative impact on our ability to garner content for our platforms. This has also, notwithstanding, also impacted on audiences and similarly on revenue. However, having said so, what we have seen is a significant commitment from our people within the SABC to strongly implement what we describe internally as a robust clawback plan, particularly in the fourth quarter of this year. This clawback plan really looks at the key performance area that I'll begin by focusing on, which is revenue enhancement. As indicated by the CFO and the CEO, we have seen some attempts to ensure that our revenue as the SABC is increased as a result of our productions and, more importantly, our ability to garner audiences on platform. We have, as such, also paid particular focus on our government sales and business development streams, which have begun to see increased effort. What we've also done is focus particularly on our two key platforms, which are television and radio. In this regard, we've seen significant progress in aligning airtime sales and ensuring that revenue is increased on both TV and radio. When we look at content, what we have also done is focus specifically on exploiting our existing content in order to ensure additional revenue streams. This has seen the emergence of a particular partnership which we'd like to highlight here within the digital space, which is with VIU, which is a subsidiary of PCCW, which has seen this organization paying us for our content, and we expect to see more such deals coming through. We've also begun focusing on how we can enhance revenue derived from our licensing of sports content. A good example of this was the manner in which we executed on the Mzansi Super League, deriving much-needed revenue to the SABC. We've also been looking at additional revenue flows which should be derived from merchandising deals, which we describe as ad ventures, that is, advertising ventures. And this will see us partnering with key financial institutions to ensure partnerships around the launch of financial products. TV licenses has also seen a significant increase and a number of initiatives which we are focused on to ensure that revenues in this area are also similarly progressed. One of the other key performance areas that talks directly to our attempts to turn around the SABC is within the field of cost containment. As was indicated, we realized a saving of 785 million year to date, and this has been through the various initiatives that are indicated here on slide 21. In order to save us time, I will not go line by line into these cost savings initiatives. Safe to say that this has been based on a commitment in the organization to ensure that our cost base, both in television and in radio and other key operating areas, are brought down to a reasonable level. One of the key ways in which we derive our revenue is to ensure that our audiences, first of all, receive compelling and exciting content which both informs them, excites them, and ensures that they stay within our platforms. As you can see here indicated in the KPA on page 22 related to audience share, we've seen significant developments in this regard. I'd like to highlight in particular in radio, where we've seen an increase in our audience share, which has gone up to 72%, representing a 0.3 increase from our previous diary. With television, we have also seen significant increases here and the stabilization of our SABC 1, SABC 2 and 3 platforms. And this has been directly because of key interventions that we have seen. Regarding our channel 404 on the DSTV platform, we've also seen a significant increase in audiences and an adoption within the news genre, indicating to us that in due course we anticipate that the SABC news platform will ultimately be the most viewed news platform on the DSTV network and certainly, let's say, in South Africa. And this has been two key interventions that has seen us ensuring that those audiences who view our news increase. The website also for the news has seen significant increases. We now see over 1 million views on our websites, indicating that our digital strategy for news has seen increases. As you would be aware, we run also various channels on the YouTube platform, and the performance here has been quite significant. What we've seen is viewers moving from about 5.5 million to about 8.7 in the period that we're reflecting on, indicating a strong adoption of the content that we have and the success of our digital strategies. When it comes to operational efficiencies, we have, as I indicated earlier on, engaged in a number of initiatives for both television and radio, which are well articulated on slide number 23. What we have also done is ensure that the broadcast platforms, notwithstanding our liquidity situation, have been upgraded to ensure best quality and ensure that our broadcasts are done in a way that does not cause disruptions to continuous playouts on both television and radio. In this regard, I just want to point out that for most of our radio platforms, we've introduced and implemented our playout system known as DIRA, which has resulted in, I'm sure, what you have seen as improvements in the quality of our broadcast, also having a positive impact on our ability to derive revenues. We have done a number of cost savings with regards to our operational efficiencies, which I related to. One of them that I want to point out is our printing solutions, which has been almost completely implemented across our total enterprise, which has seen the over 700 million savings that I reflected earlier on. If I may turn to page 24 for our presentation, and this is the KPA related to human resources. We, as indicated in our previous engagements with the PCC, particularly by our CEO, have gone very far in bringing into the organization a process of performance reviews. What had to come in front of that across all operational areas was the instituting of a new contracting process, and not only that, but quarterly performance reviews. This, we believe, will bring in a discipline into our business that will ensure that peak performance is witnessed across most of our divisions, ensuring that the revenue increases and indeed the cost savings that we have related here today are both monitored, insured, and reviewed on a regular basis. One of the key things that we have done following a recommendation from this August committee is also ensure that the preparation for a skills audit is very much at an advanced stage. Aligned with the skills audit is also the introduction of what we describe as a career progression framework, which will ensure that staff within our organization both operate in a fulfilling and indeed a clear environment that allows them to engage in their work and enjoy working at the SABC. Our CEO has also been very much involved in engaging directly one-on-one with our staff across all divisions and has instituted what he describes as a weekly CEO engagement, which has seen him almost engaging, I think, most divisions as we speak at this stage throughout the SABC. We've also ensured that we engage in a planned visit program to all of our regional offices to ensure that there is alignment to our turnaround strategies, to ensure that there is both alignment to our cost containment and revenue clawback strategies. And this has seen us engaging, I'd say, almost on a daily basis with our regions, but more importantly, on a weekly basis to ensure that these processes are brought into place. Finally, Madam Chair, if you'd allow me, I would like to conclude by really just giving you a high-level view on what we've been doing in the KPA related to compliance. In this regard, 63% of internal audit findings have been engaged upon. We've resolved 46% of external audit findings. Our ICASA licensing conditions indicate that we are in compliance with the provisions of our license to operate. We have ensured that 87% of personnel have declared their interest, avoiding potential conflicts of interest that may arise with trading with the SABC and other organizations that could arise in conflicts. We have involved in a review of all of our policies across all key operating areas, and we've indicated here that 19% of these reviews have currently been done, ensuring that divisional strategic and operational risk assessments are also aligned to our risk and business continuity operations. Thank you very much, Madam Chair. I'd like to hand over to Mr. Tekiso to relate to us progress with regards to labor-related matters.
I assume it's the last presentation, isn't it? Because the plan was to allow honorable members at least to have an hour of engagement. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Good morning, Honorable Members. I will not repeat what the COO has indicated as far as human resources issues are concerned. I'll just go straight into labor relations matters as it pertains to consequence management. And for that, I'd like to refer you to slide number 27. The organization has been quite busy looking at issues of discipline within the organization. And in this regard, we have concluded a total number of 38 disciplinary cases in this financial year. In addition to that, we've also had six cases which pertain to sexual harassment lodged after the delivery of the report on sexual harassment, which report was accepted by the board in its entirety. Of the six sexual harassment cases, one has been concluded already, where the alleged perpetrator was not found guilty. The other five cases are still proceeding as we speak. We are currently sitting with a total number of 22 disciplinary cases as of the 4th of March. These are either scheduled or still to be scheduled. What is of a concern is the number of suspensions that we have. 3 months ago, we were sitting with about 9 suspensions. We are currently sitting with 15 as a result of suspending the alleged perpetrators emanating from the sexual harassment report. The CAO has alluded earlier on about receiving on a daily basis at least a report from our forensic investigators. At this stage, we've received up to at least 180 reports, you know, coming from various investigations that have been instituted by our own forensic environment. If I turn the page, which essentially, Chairperson and all members, is my last contribution on slide 28, we suffice to say that we are currently consulting with organized labor on a variety of issues. Thus far, we've been busy consulting with organized labor on performance management, the implementation thereof. We also have concluded the consultation process on career progression. This chairperson is a very important milestone for the organization because essentially it gives our own employees an opportunity to be able to progress, you know, in their own jobs. We've dealt last year with Section 189, and I'm not going to go into that. We are currently busy with skills audit, which is a process under the stewardship of the department, led by our DDG. We have had countless meetings, at least about 3 meetings of all entities, where the agenda was clearly articulated to us as to the reasons pertaining to the skills audit. We also are consulting organized labor on sales commission policies, and then as you all know, last year we concluded our annual salary increases with organized labor. Chairperson and honorable members, that's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you very much for the presentation, honorable members. As per the committee's request, we have had the reports presented to us, different sections. So I put it to you to start engaging for clarity or comments or whatever it is. Can you note the hands? Okay, for now, it's Honorable Baba and Honorable Fandek. Honorable Swart. Thank you. You are welcome. I haven't seen you.
No, thanks, Chair. I think earlier on, Obabu Madoda Makakwe, I think while he was presenting on the slide, just one question, man. Despite all these problems, the elections May 8, do we anticipate any challenges or problems? I think we just want that clarity. And then two, I heard you are saying that the turnaround strategy will be submitted to the Minister of Communication by September 2019. But in the light of that, even the when the financials were presented, it is said that you are working with Treasury and the DOC weekly around problems which you may want to be resolving in the SABC. So coupled to that is the fact that we are hoping for a funding or some additional assistance around money maybe or to rescue the SABC situation. But this assistance which may be coming, will it be based on the yet to submit strategy or perhaps currently we have what we call a plan which we think we are calling it maybe a plan to be assisted, or is it a draft or work in progress? Because I just wanted you to link to that. But saying we are working with a Treasury and DOC, do we have minutes and registers? Because maybe you are just phoning each other, and it can be. So I think I wanted to get clarity on that. And then, two, Chair, you said also you are working on the internal controls, and you have conducted visits to your regions and so on. But around the issue of the freelancers, how many we have in the SABC? Because within your regions, whether it could be Bloemfontein, in Free State, and so on, I think the problem of the former COO around employment, maybe of freelancers, and there appears to be a threat of such employees, as though as if you may want to be eliminating them because of the past leadership and not, and maybe if you would comment, are they okay, or what is the problem around the freelancers? And people must not be targeted here. I mean, we have just spoken about the issue of the employees, that it's best for people to keep their jobs. So we can't proceed to be a threat because of past leadership and so on. You know, your management and your strategy to resolve that. Last two, Chair, will be, I think you may have observed the past interviews. I'm just wondering, vis-a-vis improving the strategy on what, you may have had many new either proposals or what to strengthen SABC. Fortunately, part of the people who came to the interviews, some are from you. It's like they were saying, no, something that is not wrong there, that is wrong, could be fixed this way. So I wanted to know if, did you analyze or did you learn something out of that, or is something coming up, or maybe as Parliament were just involved in one other process passed by. Thanks, Chair.
Did you get all the questions right? Okay, sure. Honorable Van Dijk.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you also for the presentation. My question is also related to your mentioning that you're communicating with the Minister and the DOC and Treasury on the funding. I specifically want to know whether the SAB was granted a bailout or a guarantee. And in these communications, or what you have been discussing, I want to know how much and what are the full list of conditions that were given to the SABC. And then I'm also curious, I want to know whether a reorganization officer or advisory panel was maybe established to or appoint to oversee the finances of the SABC. And if so, on what legal basis would the reorganization officer or advisory panel be appointed? Who will be responsible for this appointment? What criteria would be used to make the appointment? And what would be the responsibilities, if so? And in my last question, on page 14, you mentioned, or slide 14, you mentioned that the expenditure will increase with your covering the pre-election events. I also want to get the reassurance from the SABC that during this covering of events, political events, that all parties will be equally or equitable, get equitable coverage. If you can just confirm that also with us. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Honorable Swart.
Chairperson, thank you firstly for allowing me to put questions, although I'm not a member of the committee, and thank you for your warm welcome. For I did serve on the ad hoc committee dealing with the SABC, so I thought it would be interesting to follow up, and my apologies for not being part of the interviews. I do understand the difficult situation that the SABC is operating without a corporate board, and I commend the portfolio committee for dealing with that as much as possible. But I would also, just from our perspective, like to commend the executives, management and staff for working under very difficult conditions at the SABC, very challenging conditions given the history, given the ad hoc committee from where we come from. You have got great challenges, but I am a fervent supporter of, and viewer of SABC, and I do appreciate the coverage, and I would like to thank the SABC for the coverage that they give to parties, the ACDP as well, but do want to just tie in with some of the questions my colleagues asked, whether that going forward all parties will receive equitable coverage. It's very crucial that those, particularly those represented in Parliament, do receive that, and we're not necessarily complaining, we are just saying let's just make sure that we do receive that equitable coverage. Can I just ask, the questions were put about the dire financial situation that the SABC is faced with. And this is something I saw come in when we were still involved in the SABC inquiry. I could see, and you might remember those that were monitoring that, and it's wonderful to see Advocate Fanora now sitting on the other side, who is a colleague from Parliament. We saw the going concern issues coming up. And obviously the letter from Cipro is a great concern. I'm sure the directors here will now acknowledge and appreciate the fact that that can result in personal liability yourselves in terms of the Companies Act. So we need to know, as a committee, the other members have asked, what is going to happen at the end of March? Because obviously your staff members are all watching. And even in that regard, I commend your staff members for working under such difficult and uncertain circumstances. Your parliamentary staff is excellent, the SABC staff here, that give coverage. But what is going to happen at the end of March, given the fact that we are sitting with the elections and you cannot afford to have any form of blackout or anything like that? Are you able to give us an assurance, Minister, morning to you as well, the issue that we have, that you're faced with, will it be resolved by the end of March, given those concerns? Then, Chair, just if I may ask, just from myself as a lawyer, I'm interested in the costs of litigation, the costs of all the forensic audits, the 180 forensic audits reports. That's a massive amount. Are you actually getting value for money? Because each one of those forensic audits, they might be internal, but the external obviously are costing a lot of money. And what progress? You've got a number of litigation ongoing, human relations, external, arising from the SIU reports. Have you got ballooning legal costs as well? Because we know you use private lawyers and you need to recover, but you've got to pay your counsel up front. So maybe at some stage you'd like to give the committee what impact that has on your expenses. The last aspect, Chair, relates to the CASA requirements, and that relates to your funding model. And when we did the ad hoc committee, that was something we said needs to be looked into. ICASA and your requirements in terms of your license requires you to have certain public broadcast in sport. And that is an issue that we said needs to be re-looked at. And I think you gave an indication here that that is being re-looked at. But maybe one needs to, in the next parliament, to have a negotiation, SABC and ICASA, to start re-looking at the conditions of your license that require massive expenditure when it comes to certain items, and that might assist. But Chair, from my side, thank you very much for the opportunity.
Thank you very much, Honourable Machoba.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you for the presentation, and appreciate it as well. My clarity is in page 13. You mentioned the Fortune 4 stations have been performing well. Which is those stations? And also in page 23, just a comment to say well done to the CEO. I like that a communication with the staff where he conducted the meetings in a weekly basis. I think it's in page 23. It is not in page. Yeah, it's in page 23. Also in page 21, you also mentioned the upliftment, the improvement of the YouTube's in channel from a lower of 5,519,000. I'm also saying well done in this. I think it was our interest as this committee to see this progress from SABC. I have nothing to say, Chair, more than to say well done.
Thank you very much, Honourable Sidi.
Chair, slide 20. I see you are putting the 785 million savings, which translates to about 12% as such. But again, 16, the last quarter being the worst for the SABC revenue. And earlier on, I think somewhere in the beginning, I don't remember what page was it, it's linked to what Honorable Swart was saying, that you can't guarantee that there will be salaries for the employees at the end of March. Is that not a contradiction? The 785 million vis-a-vis this situation that you're talking about. Is that not a contradiction? Why would we have the 785 million with the last quarter being the worst and you not guaranteeing that there will be salaries for the employees at the end of March? I'll appreciate if you can just try and clarify that particular aspect. I'm worried about the 85%, page 18, slide 18. The 85% of the AG's findings being on structural issues. Why would we have a bigger chunk of the findings of the Auditor General around structural issues? And they are also not clearly stated what are those structural issues that you are talking about. Because we would have wanted a situation in which you are then coming to before the portfolio committee to highlight some of the issues that the AG has raised, which led to the qualification. But instead, it's just 85%. Of the findings being on structural issues. The last one, Chair, these interactions that you are having with organized labor, can we get feedback of those consultations that you have had with organized labor? And that guarantee that Honorable Swart spoke about is very, very critical. Can you assure us that at the end of the month, employees will get their salaries? What is it that we are doing to address that particular fear? Thanks.
Honorable Pongo.
Yeah, thank you, Chairperson. And greetings to you, Chair, and greetings to the minister and all other colleagues who come from the SABC. I think I have a few things to say. One, CEO, you have raised the matter about the collection. I think I must say this, that it's quite commendable that we're doing better on the collection. As it appears from your report, I think that's quite commendable. And it's also commendable what Member Machoba, Honorable Machoba, is raising on the issue of YouTube. It will appear generally that you are quite at work. But the last time I had an engagement with yourselves, you said that by January there won't be money. When we're fighting around issues of retrenchment, you said to the committee, January there won't be money, and we are way beyond that January. I want you to, I request you to paint a picture vis-a-vis what you said to us about the issue of January. And I welcome that you are doing the skills audit, but we'll want time frames in terms of which you'll be able to bring the issues that relate to skills audit. because the reason why we said there must not be retrenchments before the skills audit, it was informed by that very fact, because when you need to know what is happening in an organization, firstly. And I would want us, or you, to brief us about those engagements with the labourers, particularly around the issue of Section 189 of the Labour Relations Act. How far did we go? Because you will recall that the last time we had a different view about how you are approaching the matter. And I hope looking at the one Section 189 and the skills audit will educate us better. Because one matter that I raised sharply was, you have about 18 lawyers already in the institution, senior, but you bring in another lawyer, then it means you are quite not clear on what is happening in an organization. So I think that would generally assist. The issue of turnaround strategy, I think it's a very serious matter, because I think it is not coming very clear. Because turnaround strategy, COO, I appreciate you. The things that you have done are quite commendable, very beautiful. But that is at a macro level. But at a bigger scale of things, the turnaround strategy is very important. Because if we don't deal with that, Honorable Minister, we'll always say, we want money. And every time we're in portfolio committees, every portfolio committee wants money. So we want money and without dealing with the real turnaround. Because the real turnaround, to me, it's about the restructuring itself. Because the structure must restructure. We can't continue to have an executives, we have COO, you have all these things. This duplication at the senior level, we are top heavy. So we want to see a restructuring that would assist the SABC to work at an executive level. You see, I think that will be very important, because that will deal with the issues that relate to finances. The restructuring will talk to the retrenchment that must be done. It will talk to the freelancers that are there, the extent to which they give in to the organization. So I think that will be very important to look after. But I agree with Honorable Swart that under the circumstances that we are faced with, to keep the organization running, I think it's what is commendable. And I think the portfolio committee must also commend those men and women who are on the ground, who even when they are told they're not going to be paid, but they continue to put their everything to do the work. And the issue around the legal cost, I think we will need some figures, because the picture we're painting around legal cost and my understanding of how legal costs work, it means a lot of money can be saved around there to do the real work, because legal cost is something very expensive. Have you done the check? Because you can't keep on doing forensic, out of which we are not going to gain any money, but we are spending money. So that may create problems for us. The issue of sports rights, I think we have expressed ourselves on what is the approach you must use. I don't think we are following that approach. And my understanding of what Honorable Swart is raising about equity of political parties would be that the approach must be proportional. I think you may take interest of sharing with us what is your understanding, because others understand equity to be saying a party that gets 11 million votes must be shown the same way with the party that gets 100,000 votes. And in my view, I think that is a misnomer. It must be proportional. The one who gets more votes must be able to be shown more, as it's equal to the votes that he received. I took a trip to Venezuela recently, and there's a huge complaint around the SAPC. complain is we are showing exactly what is shown by BBC and CNN. And from my view and the presentation I got, it's not the true reflection of what is happening on the ground. So SABC is showing exactly what is shown by CNN and BBC. And it does not appear to be a true reflection on the ground that you also SABC is showing. I'll want you to generally comment on how do you, the quality checks and the quality control of what it is being shown, because SABC International, it's just showing one side of what is happening on the ground, not the exact story that is prevailing on the ground. I'm using Venezuela as a case study here. So those are the issues, Minister, I think, as a shareholder, we must begin to be seized with. So the SABC does not sell a narrative which is favoring the imperialist agenda only. You must be able to see the other side, because SABC has the largest viewership in the country. I think, Chair, those are the main issues I wanted to raise. But in the main, I want to know about those consultations with the unions, and how far are we in terms of the those retrenchment that we spoke about, because there were serious topical issues on the agenda, and we can't just sweep them under the carpet. Are they still happening? What is the latest? Because we still want to see how would you apply the Section 189 as it was envisaged before. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you very much. I think quite a number of honorable members have put some questions, with the exception of one or two, so please go ahead and try to respond.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I'll respond to some questions, and Chris and Yolandi will also take some. The first point, in terms of our level of readiness for the upcoming elections, indeed we are ready. We have a clearly outlined plan. We're coming back next week to present that comprehensive elections plan to the committee. So there are issues, though, from a resourcing point of view, but we're engaging to see how best we can try to avoid all of these budgetary constraints. The second question, in terms of the turnaround strategy, if you may recall, there was a turnaround strategy that was approved by the board and presented to this committee. So whatever work we've been doing in the past couple of months is based on that strategy. However, we then engaged with the DG to say there's a whole lot of inputs that they would want to incorporate into the strategy. And that is the report that I was referring to when I said it'll then be submitted to the minister by September. The issue of government funding is not dependent on that, because I've been engaging once again with the DG to look at what would be the interim requirement, funding requirements to help the SABC. Then the other issue you asked is around freelancers. How many freelancers do we have? We have about 1,893 currently in the organization. And you may appreciate that the model of the freelancers is that they have a 12-month contract. And in terms of the performance requirements is, whenever those contracts need to be reviewed, they look at the revenue generation, they look at the audience in terms of has it declined or has it been increasing, but most importantly, they look at the repositioning of the different slots. So there is that process underway, and the radio management or the TV management engage with the freelancers based on their performance around those. The other issue you mentioned was whether there's a purging of employees or targeting of employees, certainly not under my leadership. We're looking at cases in terms of alignment with our policies and procedures. Whenever there is a transgression, we look at what exactly needs to be done, fully cognizant of the due processes that need to be undertaken. As you may appreciate, whenever there is a transgression, we are duty-bound to ensure we act on these. And some of these processes are quite clearly outlined in the different divisions. In terms of the question whether the SAPC, has the SAPC been granted a bailout, we are still engaging with the DOC in terms of the funding requirements of the SAPC. I am not aware of any reorganization officer or advisory panel that has been appointed to lead or to be part of the SAPC. That has not been communicated to us yet. Chris will talk to the whether parties will be treated equally or equitably, and in whatever we do here, we fully adhere to the ICASA regulations. What is going to happen at the end of March, Yolandi is going to give us a brief there. Then there's a point about the 180 forensic audits. All of those investigations are done internally, and this relates to different cases. For example, there was a case recently that was widely reported on where an employee or an ex-employee siphoned over 27 million of the SAPC. So we're not talking about external audits, but we're talking about what the internal audit people are doing in terms of dealing with some of these transgressions. Then there was a point on the collection of TVs. Okay. Oh, then there's the point on the time frames in terms of skills audit is clearly outlined here. We will be doing this until early next year, and then Dr. Tegiso is going to talk to the nitty-gritties of that process. Engagements with labor in terms of Section 189, we have engaged with labor at the end of January when the notice on Section 189 expired, and we made it very clear that the organization will not be taking this process forth. Advocate Vanara is going to talk to the legal fees. But if I may talk about the turnaround strategy, as I said, this was approved by the board, and we're engaging now with DOC to ensure that we can get more inputs to fine-tune it. You're talking about the restructuring at a senior level. One of the topics that preoccupies us is the future structure of the SAPC, and all of these matters are going to be engaged in that forum.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. So with respect to what happened in January, what's anticipated to happen in March, and maybe to an extent touching on the question around the savings year to date versus the inability to guarantee the payroll. So in the 11 months as we're reporting here for January, we have actively chosen not to spend on certain items, maintenance, traveling, consultants, even our content, as I indicated in the course of my presentation, in order to ensure we have sufficient cash to cover our payroll. When we then spoke about the infamous day zero and it being anticipated for January or February, and now with March being the lowest date, the latest date in terms of when the cash crunch will really be on. Our cash management these days are literally on a day-to-day basis. We prioritize our payroll at the cost of every other service provider and supplier, and the investment in content and marketing and CapEx and infrastructure. But we will do everything possible to protect the payroll. In February, the income was the lowest it had been this whole year. But we were able to cover our payroll, and we covered really very, very critical service providers only, and that process continues into March. So we really just manage around the day zero. In my opinion, it can almost happen any day, because it depends on one of our major creditors who decides that they're no longer able to support us. As such, the relationships we have established with these creditors and their ability to support is particularly critical. A quick question, a response to the question around the Fortune 4. It's Radio Sonder Grenze, SAFM, Radio 2000 and Lotus. I touched on the savings versus the payroll guarantee, maybe just on supply chain and the comment around the 85% target. So just to clarify, The last bullet confirms that we're anticipating to achieve, resolve 85% of our audit findings. 15% remain, and they are in the supply chain environment. And the structural issues referred to, we anticipate to be resolved in the course of the HR processes that we're embarking on. The operating model, the skills audit, and the realignment of the department. And in the process, we hope to show the improvement in the department that we need to be. Maybe just also on the legal cost, and Advocate Venora will also elaborate. One of the very first cost-saving mechanisms we initiated, it was literally in July when the CEO had just joined, is to review the allocation of legal costs between external and internal parties, and at that point in time, the majority of the work had already been starting to come internally. So the external bills have been reduced and are managed with a very crucial eye, but Advocate Venora will also speak a little bit more to that. I think I've answered all my questions. So,
thank you, Chair.
Please go ahead. Thank you.
Honourable members, I'll address some of the questions in the sequence in which I received them. If I may just add, with regards to the independent contractors, a question that was asked by Honourable Barber. It was indicated to you that we have, across the SABC, just under 1,900 independent contractors. When we engage with independent contractors, also known as freelancers, they are performance criteria which determine how we retain them and how we manage them as talent. Those relate to how we measure their audience performance. Audience performance has a direct impact on our ability to garner revenue on those platforms. So we're very careful, and we try to review on a regular basis, particularly as we were engaging on this, what we described as the internal clawback plan, to ensure that revenue and performance targets are closely monitored. In actual fact, in the fourth quarter, just before April, where sometimes we see changes on our platforms, we ensure that we communicate and we indicate where in instances there have been some challenges. I can assure you, Honourable, that this is not done to purge anyone, but really to ensure that those operational efficiencies that we would like to see coming onto our platforms are brought into place. You also asked a somewhat existential question on whether we receive and contemplate some of the proposals that are brought in with regards to potential plans, strategies that we can introduce. Certainly, we've looked at these, but I just want to refer you again, as the CEO indicated, that we've submitted a very robust turnaround strategy where a lot of these plans, processes are already looked into, which really arise from the analysis of our operating model. And ultimately, we have the things that I reported back to you in terms of the turnaround strategy and the highlights are basically the key things that we've been able to achieve as a result of the implementation of this turnaround strategy. So the two are not mutually exclusive, and you find that there's normally great alignment between the two. There's a question here, Honorable Chair, which relates to an ongoing question by many of our honourable members on whether our coverage in particular of elections will be fair and equitable. I think without going into the debates around equity versus equality, I'd like to refer this august committee to the provisions of the SABC Charter, which are very clear about what our job is as the executive in terms of implementation of balanced, fair coverage. I'll also refer to the Broadcasting Act and the Electronic Communications Act, which we are very familiar with. And I think you would have seen in the course of maybe your observation of our news bulletins that we have gone to a great extent not to interfere, as might have happened in the past, in the editorial business of our newsrooms, but really to provide an operational context where the people who cover the news can do so in a fair, balanced, and transparent fashion. this is the absolute promise that we can give you. I'm also excited that we will be back here next week, where the CEO, and hopefully, and I speak under correction from the CEO, will be able to bring our group executive for news and current affairs, who will then be able to give you a deeper understanding of what the plans are. We have phased these plans to ensure that the coverage of elections is particularly balanced and fair. I was concerned to hear from Honorable Bongo a concern about our coverage of Venezuela with regards to what I heard you expressing as possibly out of South Africa narrative within it. Let me assure you of one thing, Honorable Bongo, that in our discussions with the newsroom, as much as we respect the independence of this newsroom, we believe in a national interest perspective, and that national interest perspective is South Africa first. So let me be very clear in what I mean by that. We have said to our newsroom that we believe that the public opinion must be brought onto our platforms in a balanced and fair way. We've also indicated to them that in terms of our national interest, we believe that social justice and indeed the public concerns of our communities must come to the fore. If you have seen a challenge with regards to our external coverage, I would hazard to say that shortfall might be as a result of the lack of resources that we have to actively go into those countries to bring you the kind of coverage that I think we collectively agree should be seen on the SABC. I think once we are appraised and look into these issues of resources, I'm sure you will find that national interest approach towards South Africa first coverage will come out in a more amplified way. But let me be quick also to highlight a few developments in this regard. You'd have seen the introduction of the democracy gauge on our platforms, that is the SABC News 404, and also on SABC 3. This really gives you a flavor of the social justice, national interest, balanced and fair coverage, which you can anticipate to see as we move into the elections. And I assure you that we will do our best as the executive to deliver this. I believe there was a question here with regards to also sports rights, which is the final one. I think sports rights and issues related to the coverage of what we call issues of national importance really relate to the funding model of the SABC. And this is something that this committee has also had regard to, in the sense that you have said that it is important that we find a ways and means. It was expressed here that we're working very closely with the Department of Communications to address this funding gap between unfunded mandates and the things that we should be covering. Thank you.
Honorable members, have all the questions covered? Honorable Baba, which one has not been covered? Let's allow the team to finish, and then please note whatever you are concerned about.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. There were questions around the consultation process with organized labor, particularly the matters around performance management. The two unions, the MAU and Communication Workers Union, have both declared a dispute on performance management. And we've had a number of meetings to try and resolve the dispute. BEMAU has referred the dispute to the CCMA, and Communication Workers Union has not referred the dispute to the CCMA. The dispute really revolves around certain sections of a policy that was approved
by the board around 2016. And, you know, on matters which were either promised or not promised to organize labor at the time. So that's what we're trying to resolve currently. Just to give you a picture, Honorable Members, Chairperson, the bargaining unit commands a total number of 2,700 employees. These are employees who, as a result of the dispute, were not able to contract for performance management. And out of a total staff complement of around 3,400, which means that a number of around 680 employees, which is management, have been able to contract for performance management. Now, the implications are far-reaching, particularly if we want and we aspire to create a world-class SABC premised on a high-performance culture, because performance management is closely aligned with our succession planning policies as well as the career progression policy, which we've also been consulting organized labor on. These are very important processes that we're busy with. The absence of performance management within the organization will have dire consequences, particularly in our quest to creating a high-performance culture. So we are busy consulting on performance management, and we are hopeful that the parties will meet each other somewhere so that we can progress what we want to do. The second issue that we've consulted organized labor pertains to career progression, which, as I've just said just now, is a very, very critical aspect of employees realizing their career aspirations within the SABC. We get approached on a daily basis by employees telling us that I have been with the SABC for 26 years and I have not moved in as far as my scale code or grade, job grade, is concerned. We are wanting to address those things through the implementation of career progression leading to succession planning, as well as supporting what we want to do in as far as what we call talent reviews are concerned. We're also, thirdly, consulting on the sales commission policy, and we've been engaging with organized labor on this one. And if I quickly indicate from a granularity point of view what we're busy with, we're looking at very basic things like who should be a beneficiary of the incentive policy. Must it be exclusively only be for staff members who are client-facing, or must you also include staff members who may not be client-facing, but who are providing a support process to the salespeople? So those are questions that we're deliberating upon in as far as our engagement with organized labor. Lastly, the skills audit is a process which we're busy with right now under the stewardship and leadership of the department. Suffice to say that we're working under very, very tight deadlines, working closely with the DDG, and we've divided it for our own purposes, in phases, where phase one pertains to collation of data, e.g. CVs and qualifications and what have you, and we're bound to deliver our first report to the department end of this month, particularly as it pertains to management. But suffice to say that we all know that a skills audit process can take anything from 6 to 8 months or so, but we're busy with that right now. Chairperson, honorable members, thank you.
Honorable Baba.
No, Chair. Mine, I think it will be just one final question. I ask about the DOC and the Treasury meetings, if you are keeping minutes, you are not just phoning each other. And then just lastly, if I may have to ask, I heard the last speaker speaking of succession policy, career pathing policy, sales commission policy, incentive policy, you know, so many policies, that's good. But what about the sexual harassment policy in varying complaints? Because counter to that could be issue of legal implications in the SABC. So I think I wanted to understand on that one. Thanks, Chair. That would be the last.
Honorable Sebi.
Just to remind them about the savings that I spoke about earlier. It's one other issue that was not addressed. I think it was 785 million vis-a-vis the current financial situation that we are facing.
Honorable Kalago.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, just on the recommendations of the ad hoc committee, I see here they say the issue of the SSA activities within the SABC is resolved. I don't remember presenting to us what was the nature of these activities. I'm interested to know if you say it's resolved, how is it resolved, and what was the nature of the activities themselves, especially with the view of the current things now coming out after these reports by these commissions. It will be important just to get what was it. Then on the last time you were before us with the SIU, there was the issue of the current tender of the security at SABC, which was in dispute. What happened to that? I didn't see here. I see you are talking about those old ones which came out of. What happened to that?
Thank you very much. It's like all honorable members have put some questions before you. Just to add to already what you have already said, it will be interesting to hear clearly about how you have responded to the Watson report on sexual harassment. I saw that you have had disciplinary actions over, I don't know, 5 cases, and the first one, you couldn't find them guilty. It's quite alarming, given the seriousness of the practice that seems to be systematic within the company. So it will be of interest to get your response to that and the intervention. But also the last report of the Companies and Intellectual Property Commission, I see here the high table noted that there was an observation from this commission that based on the review of the 2017 and 2018 financial statements, they have a reason to believe that the SABC is trading recklessly and under insolvent circumstances, and thereby possibly contravening Section 22 of the Companies Act, and therefore requested that the company outline measures taken to mitigate the situation and reasons as to why they have not engaged in business rescue proceedings. I suppose some of the interventions we are talking about, they talk to that, but normally once the commission has put it directly out there to the public, it calls for a deliberate response to that issue, more than a general turnaround strategy or this, but a deliberate response to that. I don't know whether you might have to give us further details, maybe in writing, so that the committee has comfort that you have strategically responded to that. Thank you. Oh yeah, there was also a question on the legal costs. I didn't get it. And the question, you know, I know for the committee, the question of the skills audit was a big issue over the last few meetings. But there has been often reference to what the role of the DG and so on, and it's a little bit confusing as to how the SABC is responding to that call, besides the role of the DG. The committee kept on referring to before the resignations, while we still had a board. That was one of the critical questions that the committee raised, the skills audit. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Indeed, in terms of the question on the commission, we put together a response working with the department, highlighting all of the steps that we're taking as an organization to try to mitigate the risk of insolvency. So that has been done, and we can share that. The second issue, in terms of the Watson report on sexual harassment at the SAPC, as you may remember, we received this, and as it was approved for implementation, we are now in the process of engaging quite aggressively in all of the disciplinary processes, following due processes. And Dr. Tekiso will give us a more nuanced response in that sense. In terms of the security tender, as well as the legal costs, Advocate Vanara will talk to that. Honorable Klaba, in terms of the meetings with DOC, indeed there is a register. These are not over the phone engagements. Whenever we meet, there's always a report that comes out of that. So it's really a very constructive engagement to try to get a better working SABC, so we can share those if the committee would want sight of those reports.
Advocate. Thank you, Chair, and good afternoon to the Honourable Minister, the Honourable Members. Mine really is to deal with three issues. On the issue of legal costs, I want to share the concerns raised by Honourable Members with regard to the expensive nature of litigation. But before I get to how we manage these costs, it is imperative to identify the cost drivers. If you look at the report on the implementations of the recommendations of the ad hoc committee, which is, I think, from pages 30 to 34 in the report, you will realize that there are a number of decisions that the board needed to reverse. We couldn't take the law into our hands. It meant we needed to go to court to have these contracts, to have these people who took decisions that are contrary to the policies of the SABC to court. And some of these decisions, already people were taken to task and they lost those cases. The successful litigants are going after the company to recoup the legal costs. It is also important to note that whilst the directors of the companies have got ordinarily your insurance cover for directors' liability, during the era prior to the ad hoc committee's intervention, the insurance companies have repudiated claims because of the reckless nature in which decisions were taken. And all of these costs are borne by the company. The number of investigations that are conducted lead at times to misconduct hearings. Naturally, when people are unhappy with the outcome, they go to court. The budget for litigation costs in respect of all these cost drivers stands at 22 million, However, to date, we do not have an up-to-date payment that would have been defrayed out of the budget, but we can make that available to the committee. In respect of value for money, we negotiate costs before we engage external service providers, and that only happens when it's necessary to do so. We try, as the CFO indicated, to do most of the work internally. We do the cost-benefit analysis, and where there's disagreement with regard to the payment of fees, we have these bills of cost text. The fifth one is where we've won cases, we recover the legal costs. The second issue relating to the recommendation 16 of the ARO Committee on SA activities. Honorable members would recall that during that ARO Committee inquiry, there were allegations that certain officials of the SABC were placed under SSA surveillance. When the board looked at this matter, it was established that the officials allegedly placed under surveillance had already left the company, and we couldn't access them. Of course, the Inspector General of Intelligence was given a report in this regard. The last issue, which speaks to the Mjaeli matter, it relates to a procurement for security services at Auckland Park and TV outside broadcast. The bone of contention really is about the awarding of the tender. And there is a review application brought by the unsuccessful bidder. Review application is where someone disagrees with the decision that has been taken and goes to court to have it set aside. What is holding that process backwards is that honorable members might recall that this was a tender that was concluded by the interim board. So when the new board came into being, it needed to establish the facts. Simultaneously, the SIU had been mandated to investigate this matter. And those legal proceedings cannot be concluded because the SIU has not finalized its investigation. Once the investigation has been finalized, both parties are agreed and there's a court order to this effect that the proceedings will then resume. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I will just respond to the question around the savings of 785 million versus the payroll. So I responded to a number of questions together, sir, so forgive me if I weren't exactly clear. What has happened in the year to date, we have had to make decisions around what we prioritize in our maintenance, expenditure, content acquisition, etc., to ensure that we have enough cash to cover our primary obligations, which is our payroll and our signal and distribution costs. And we continue to do that. So the fact that we report savings translates into cash, which have allowed us to be able to cover our payroll obligations. And as I say, while we continue to manage on a day-to-day basis, the payroll remains our priority, and it's number one. And other things are merely delayed or postponed, or we engage with service providers to manage the situation.
One more question, yeah? Okay.
Thank you, Chairperson. Regarding the sexual harassment matters, as I've indicated earlier, one of the cases has been concluded on the basis that the alleged victim appeared at the disciplinary inquiry together with the alleged perpetrator, and in that matter, the alleged victim basically told the forum that there was no reason to believe that there was a sexual harassment matter in that forum, Chairperson and honorable members. So on that basis, the alleged perpetrator was not found guilty of sexual harassment. In terms of other matters, this occurred within the Channel Africa environment, where, for instance, one of the alleged
victim has now relocated to Kenya, but we've been able to invite them to a disciplinary inquiry, and they will be joining us in a week's time. The other alleged victim has also relocated to the USA, and we've had the first disciplinary hearing with her via Skype, where she's essentially, you know, presented, you know, her matter. That matter, you know, continues. The other two, in fact, the second last, while proceeding with it, suffice to say that it's a very difficult and painful matter, in the sense that in this case, Chairperson, you know, both the victim and their husband used to work for the SABC. Unfortunately, as a result of the sexual harassment meted out to the female colleague, she had to leave the organization. Initially, the partner had to leave, followed by the, you know, by the victim, and which essentially means that, you know, the family has been destroyed, so to speak. We are busy with that case in terms of collating additional information, you know, from our own systems in terms of the communication that happened between the alleged perpetrator, you know, and the victim. That matter is very painful, and we're continuing with it. The last one, Chairperson, is also pertains to one of our colleagues based in the Free State. We're busy with that one as well. And so that is the first phase in terms of implementation of the report. The second phase, which we're going to proceed with after this one, after we've dispensed with disciplinary inquiries, is the one that pertains to those who are complicit in terms of either aiding or abetting sexual harassment matters. And thirdly, the organization is busy right now in terms of sensitizing all employees around issues of sexual harassment. For instance, we have planned to have industrial theater in terms of educating all our employees in as far as issues of sexual harassment are concerned. And finally, we do have a sexual harassment policy which we are continuously looking at, and Mayor Watson has been able to help us in terms of continuing to fine-tune our policy in as far as sexual harassment is concerned. So the report is being implemented in its entirety, Chairperson. And then on the skills audit process, we are busy, as I said. We started by engaging with organized labor in terms of explaining the rationale around why we're proceeding with skills audit. And clearly there was a misunderstanding in terms of why we're proceeding with skills audit. Organized labor are of the view that the organization is wanting to progress this and want to use it as a pretext, you know, to go back to Section 189. And we've been very clear that we're not going back to 189. All that we want to do is to make sure that the organization understands the skills that we have so that we can get ready for the fourth industrial revolution. But not only that, to be able to make sure that we have the right skills or people in the right positions doing the right jobs with the right skills. So the first phase for us was to make sure that we collate CVs as well as qualifications that people say they have, but also to make sure that we have job profiles that reflect the jobs that people are doing. That's the first phase, you know, collation of data, you know, across the whole organization for all employees, you know, to get ready for the second phase. The second phase would be the analysis of the skills that we have and whether people are placed correctly, you know, with the right skills and qualifications. And then finally, we will then get a report, you know, having worked through a service provider, we'll get a report that gives us an indication as to what do we have currently in as far as skills and qualifications are concerned, but also what will we need going forward in terms of getting the organization ready. And so that's where we are currently in as far as the skills audit is concerned, Chairperson. Thank you.
Thank you. Honorable Salt.
Thank you. I'm not sure if my colleagues had a greater clarity, but just as far as the payroll is concerned for March, I understood that it is being managed on a day-to-day basis. Does that mean that salaries will be paid at the end of March or not, and then going forward? Because obviously it's also dependent on your negotiations with National Treasury and communications, but I didn't get clarity. What does it mean to be on a day-to-day basis? And then secondly, just on the legal costs issue, I would suggest the committee gets a written report on the expenditure for legal costs, and also possibly advise the SABC to use the SIU to litigate, given the fact that they've now got the tribunal that has been set up where they, the tribunal, can now set aside contracts and recover fees. And that is something one can consider reviewing existing litigation. I don't know if it's retrospective or not, but particularly when their new report comes out, they can litigate in their own tribunal to cancel contracts and recover funds. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Honourable members, I assume everybody is fine now. Okay.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you for the question, sir. So day-to-day means we look at what is a critical priority on a specific day. The process, how it actually is in a course of a month, we've got a payments committee where we have the 943 million that I referred to earlier that is confirmed due and payable. We then prioritise within that the trade and other payables, whether it be commitments, signal and broadcasting costs, operations, lights and water kind of stuff, etc. Then there are items that arise in the course of a month, and we assess when we can pay them and how much we can pay them at a specific point in time. We do forecast on a weekly, monthly, three-monthly, six-monthly and annual basis at this time. And if I then get to whether we can pay the payroll as at the end of March, at this time we are forecasting to be able to pay it. But if there's anything significant that goes wrong in the next 2 weeks, then there is a risk to it. But we remain committed to prioritize it under all circumstances.
Honourable Minister, we haven't heard your voice. I don't know whether you are angry with the SABC management or us. Over to you. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Thank you, Chair, and good afternoon to all the members. Chair, I just want to join SABC and respond to certain areas that have been us that affect the work that we do as the shareholder department in relation to the recapitalization of the SABC. As the CEO indicated that we have, they have submitted the request and we send it to Treasury, we want to assure Parliament we were just engaging with the DG from Treasury. One thing that we can't just say is that the button will be pressed tomorrow, but we are guaranteed that by the end of the month, that we have requested from Treasury as an immediate intervention. Remember, we have not met all the requirements of Treasury to fund SABC. So the immediate that we needed to attend to, we've made a submission as worked by the teams led by the CEO, and they are guaranteeing us that we would have received that. So CEO, you can confidently say, because we did not ask for money for salaries. We ask for money for certain things, SABC do that, but in their own, if we put this money, they will be able to pay for salaries. And like I said, Treasury has just given us a nod that they are working on that, so by the end of March, definitely that will be attended to. So, CEO, you can freely say, if we give you the money, you can pay the workers, because that's one thing that's not nice, for people to be working every day, waking up, and not knowing if they're going to get their money. So, as I said, Treasury will do that. And there was another question in relation to the CRO as announced by the Minister of Finance. Of course, Honourable Members, you do know this is not the first time we'll be funding SABC. I mentioned this in the previous committee meeting for the turnaround strategy that was presented to Treasury when we gave the money, and that was not implemented. Now as government, once more, as we have to intervene on the financial crisis faced by SABC, we've got to put money, because we're looking into the matter of the public interest in relation to the mandate that SABC is driving. But as the Minister of Finance announced, there will be a person assigned to monitor that SABC spends the money according to what has been submitted. We request money for ABCD. Treasury approves this money is for this and that, and therefore, as we say, we're setting our terms, then that person that they will decide on that must come and monitor for the spend, so that we do not find SABC coming back to say, government, we need another bailout or assistance. These members, as you also listen to the CEO, talking to the finalization of the turnaround strategy latest by September, which is a commitment we have made to Treasury once more. This therefore means that the turnaround strategy has no choice. It can't dwell on the past. Whilst it appreciates its past, it has to take into consideration the future of SABC. This is why you were talking about institutional model and new model, and SABC that must be able to respond to the challenges and the disruptions that are there presented by the fourth industrial revolution, the capability within. And going back to the question on skills audit, the gentleman is correct to say yes, upon our appointment, the first thing that we did as the department was to say all entities must undergo that. Because for us, it was about understanding the capability of the portfolios that we have under the department. It has nothing to do with the turnaround, this one of ours. It's meant for us to say, as president has added a responsibility to say, let's be the department that leads the fourth industrial revolution. Therefore, if that's what we have to do, what's the kind of broadcasting that we need? And therefore, we need to understand from SABC, from ICASA, from MDD, and everybody that is involved, the capacity so that we're able to say, as a portfolio, we're able indeed to respond to this call and money that president has presented to us. And then if we say, Guti, these are the gaps, as we had said, one of the things that we'll be introducing is compulsory training for all, because we need to bridge that gap. As we talk of making sure that others go home, what are the other opportunities that are presented by the 4AR? And we've got to take into cognizance the fact that they have certain skills, and how do we re-channel them or remodel them to go and add the value where they are required. So that's what the skills audit is about. That's why he's referring to the fact that they're collecting CVs and all that, because we just want to do that. And they will talk to the one that is required for the turnaround strategy. The issue on ICASA, again, in the issue of regulatory matters, we are, as we had said, we indicated in the last time, that with a new mandate, it's not just about currently just what's facing SABC in the current manner that they operate. It's about the future. So that complete overhaul that we spoke about of the legislation and the regulations is what we are embarking on, which we hope when Parliament is called upon to do that, they will assist us starting from the legislation so that regulations can be responsive to the data-centric market that is driving everything. You spoke of YouTube. Are you comfortable to say SABC must participate only on YouTube? Or is just one of the platforms that are there? Why can't they come up with their own innovation to compete with YouTube? What value, what support must we provide for SABC to be like that? Because it can be that SABC will remain with the traditional way of doing things. It's being overtaken. If we're saying SABC has to tap into all the entire space of OTTs, that capacity within SABC must be there and be built. We can't say they must rely on that, on that, on that. Of course, as a start, they will build on what is there. But they've got to build their own capacity to be able to be leaders in the OTT space. The last issue, I think here's the detailed work in relation to funding, the work that has been done by the GTEC. The CEO has responded to this. The GTEC is the team that we requested from Treasury to assist SABC in the development of all of this turnaround strategy and the application. And I know there was a question again from the honorable members asking us about the monies, how much, the criterion. We don't get to choose. GTEC is a team from Treasury. We have not gone out to seek some panel experts to come and assist SABC yet. We're still utilizing GTEC, but we will, as part of beefing up capacity to advise on what SABC and how it must look like, we will be appointing a panel when the time comes, because we are working in a regulated environment, and we've got to follow all the processes that need to be followed. Yeah. Thank you, Honorable Members.
No, thank you very much, Honorable Minister. I think it is encouraging to see the cooperation between the shareholder and the SABC management. We come from a very difficult era where we felt your previous board members wanted to put us across the table, wanted to put the shareholder across the table, and the outcome was a disaster because we're not moving, and that caused a serious delay. So I'm really happy that there seem to be good cooperation. Thank you very much, Honorable Minister and the team. We hope ultimately we will have the right model, funding model for SABC, so that we don't sit like this again. Thank you very much, Honorable Members. Meeting adjourned.